This episode of The Payload is brought to you in partnership with Legion by Lenovo and Intel. Find out more about Legion by Lenovo on Facebook and Twitter at Legion by Lenovo. Enjoy the show? Support The Payload on Patreon for exclusive content, access to game nights and giveaways, and more. Head on over to patreon.com/payloadpodcast to find out how you can get involved. Join our Discord community, find new friends, review VODs, and discuss esports and strategy on our Payload Podcast Discord at discord.me/payloadpodcast.
The podcast for heroes in the world of Overwatch. This is The Payload.
Everybody, welcome to episode number 73 of The Payload. We're an Overwatch podcast from blizzpro.com. Today is June 30th, 2017 from Denver, Colorado. I am John Horstman.
Correction, before someone comments about it, it's the 29th.
June 29th. Oh my God.
That's okay. That's our one mistake for the show.
It looks like it was edited to be the 30th by someone called OK It Rosh. So
wait, okay, that is false. I do not edit this document.
To be fair, the show does say June 30th.
You mean okay, it false?
Yeah, okay, it false. I hate this. Anyways,
I am okay, John Horstman. Tripod. With me, of course, is the crew. First, let's head on over to okay, itville. California.
This has opened up a whole can of new memes. Like, I'm used to, like, okay, it's flustered. Okay, it's embarrassed. Okay, it's grandmaster. Like, I'm used to those memes, but now we've got to change it to okay, it. And if you guys don't know what we're talking about, we got our sub buttons. Our sub buttons went live, and the prefixes for the emotes were picked by Twitch and cannot be changed. And so John's is, I believe it's kicked. So whatever emote he has, it's kicked. And then, hey, kicked, not like this, et cetera, et cetera. My prefix is, you would think it would be okay, it's, but they decided to shorten it to okay, it. So there is no S. So my emotes are going to be as followed. Okay, it love. Okay, it's blessed, and probably okay, it's rage or something like that. So I now sound like I have 9 IQ points on twitch.tv. So feels good, man. And you have now been introduced to the meme.
Yeah, those of you listening to the recording or watching the VOD, you should be in here on the Twitch chat. They're having fun with this right now.
Oh, coming up, I didn't even coming look up with at good Twitch emotes. Chat. I know you guys support me, but oh man.
So I thought I had it solved for you though. I was like, we'll just, you know, have it start with like S and then love or whatever.
Yeah, S love.
But the only problem is that the first letter of your emote after your prefix has to be capitalized.
Yeah. So if I do okay, it S love, it ends up looking like okay, it's love. It just looks even worse. Like, instead of 9 IQ points, I have 4. So it's going to have to stick with okay at love, which should push me to actually stream more to get partnership, because I'm not that far away from the actual partnership. So this will really push me out there so that I can prove that I have 20 IQ points instead of 9. But
oh my goodness.
It's been good. This week has been good. Other than the okay it memes, it's been good, and I'm excited to get into the podcast.
Yeah, well, let's jump on over to Camarillo, California really quick. Say hi to Jimmy Bloxham. Welcome back, Jimmy.
Always good to be back. Just enjoying my week here, getting adjusted to my new job. It's keeping me really busy, so it's been a crazy week.
Cool.
Hopefully I'll calm down soon, but we'll see.
Cool. Well, hey.
We have a little bit of news to talk about. I'm excited to talk this week.
We do have news. Before we do, a couple housekeeping things. Number one, of course, if you're a fan of The Payload, we'd love for you to support via patreon.com/payloadpodcast. But with Rosh and I and Jimmy, are you an affiliate yet?
Yes.
Are you going to do the sub thing?
I will.
Okay. Well, then all three of us have to figure some stuff out. Are really excited to have sub buttons on our channel. So if you're like, you know what? I like Payload Podcast. I just hate John. You can go over to Rosh's and Jimmy's streams, sub there as well in support. So just, we won't talk about that every week, but it's a special week. It's a big deal for people who are trying to, you know, make that step into streaming. So doing that. Second thing, our game night, 2 weeks ago, 1 week ago, however long, a week and a half ago, was a huge success. And the next one's coming up next Friday. So July 7th, 7 p.m. Pacific time. We believe it'll be at twitch.tv/blizzpro. And through these nights, what we're doing is we're actually partnering with Extra Life. And you can support the Extra Life charity or of our choice. I think we're doing the Colorado Children's Hospital is where we're set up. But it also helps the BlizzPro Extra Life. And so we would love for you to come be involved. Patrons get priority into slots for games. But last time we had lots of room for listeners, fans, people who just stumbled in. So don't think that just because you're not supporting financially doesn't mean you can't come play games and hang out. And we played Jackbox games last time too, which everybody can play. There's 8 players, but then the audience gets a say in voting. And that was a lot of fun. We're going to do a little bit more custom games, but we'll close it out with Jackbox games again, I think. So yeah. Definitely come hang out and do that. That's it for us keeping. Let's go into the news.
This week in Overwatch.
We do want to thank our Grandmaster supporters.
one of these weeks.
Someone needs to update the show notes.
Yeah, one of these weeks. It'll be a lot more smooth. We'll actually get it.
I had Bork and Beans for dinner. So anyways, we do want to thank
our— You went to Biker Gems again?
Right. We do want to thank our Grandmaster supporters. Shadow, J.A., Corel, Liam, O., Stuart, J., Leong, Z., Jacob, S., and Adam W. Thank you so much for your support of the show. Get in on all the cool stuff. We've gotten great feedback on our little special 15-minute episode that we did last week. And we had awesome feedback on the Patreon game nights. We'd love for you to get involved. Patreon.com/WellMetPodcast. Payload Podcast.
I heard it.
Edit in post.
God. Are you okay, John?
It's been a really busy week. I mean, you guys know we didn't even get to show notes until today.
Yeah.
With all the sub button stuff and everything else going on. It's just been kind of a whirlwind of a week, okay?
It's a good whirlwind of a week. But a whirlwind of a week nonetheless. So it still gets to you.
Yeah, I mean, outside of the job thing, my family's been in town this week, so I've been trying to spend as much time with them as I can. So Overwatch has kind of taken a back seat, unfortunately, as far as playtime is concerned.
Yeah. Well, the good news is that there's a lot of stuff going on outside and around the game, so you don't have to necessarily be playing to be in tune with everything that's going on with the game. So first, patch 1.13.0.0 is on the PTR, and something interesting was data mined, right, Rosh?
Yes, they actually looked into the files, and it was data mined that the title of this 1.13.0.0 is actually Doomfist/Summer Games, which brings up a couple questions, because if you look to last year when they did last year's Summer Games, they didn't do them until August. So currently the patch on the PTR is 1.13. So it's kind of like, is this going to be soon, or if it's labeled Summer Games, are they going to try and do it at the same time as last year? But the reason they did do Summer Games so late last year was because they actually wanted to correspond it with the actual summer event games for the Olympics. So maybe they're planning on doing Summer Games early this year. And that's why 1.1 1-3 is labeled this way. So we could be seeing Summer Games soon. There's a bunch of hypotheticals out there right now, and it's pretty cool because it gives us something to guess on, and it gives us time for Jimmy Domus to come into effect and see what he thinks is going to happen.
Did you just say... Jimmy Domus?
Oh my goodness.
I did. So yeah, there's who knows what'll happen.
I feel like calling it data mining is giving it a little too much credit because it's literally just an error crash report that someone found apparently playing the PTR.
Yeah.
But either this is someone messed up at Blizzard or they're trolling us. It's one of the two.
Yeah.
Terry Crews, I actually, this wasn't in the show notes, but Terry Crews actually did tweet out like kind of a nod towards him doing the voice line for Terry Crews. I think someone tweeted at him and he replied with correct or something like that or yes. So at this point, it's either Terry Crews doing Doomfist and this is actually a correctly data mined like piece of information from this crash report, or Blizzard is just pulling the biggest, most delayed April Fool's prank on us ever. So it's not like the Sombra where we're having to wait months and months and months, but they seem to be dropping little crumbs that we're just like picking up and eating like endlessly. So it'll be really funny when it finally comes out, regardless of which way it's going.
Mm-hmm. And we knew Summer Games would be coming back because Jeff Kaplan had talked about there were going to be recurring events. I'm just wondering if it's going to be the same game mode, the Lucio Ball, or something different. Because they didn't really say necessarily one way or the other if it was going to be exactly the same.
Didn't they hint at like kind of expanding on the game modes that were available in the original events? So like for the Halloween event, they were expanding on to like, oh, the door on Eichenwald gets crashed open and then there's another segment for you to play through. So maybe it will be, but maybe they're... will be like somehow tied into like another game mode, or whoever, like you win that game mode, then you go on to a different mode or something like that. So I don't think, this is my personal opinion, I don't think that they will bring back the same exact mode with the same exact map and no changes. I think that they'll bring it back for the people who didn't get to play it the first time so you can get the skins, but I think that they will enhance it and add to it so that it's not just the same thing.
I think that there's no coincidence that we have less gravity options in custom games just about a month before.
Yeah,
so, you know, I would love to see Lucio Ball in a little bit more. And imagine if Lucio, you could left click to, you know, boop and right click to suck in.
I'm sorry, you could left click to what?
Boop.
Oh, okay. Just making sure.
Boop. So
yeah, that would be interesting.
So you could like do that and be a little bit like Rocket League at that point. So I could see them doing that. I still want Genji's jousting on top of Orisa's, but I don't think that we're gonna get that one. So we'll have to see.
I don't think that we will either. But yeah.
So I do want to play a little bit with Jimmy Domus here for a second. So first and foremost, Jimmy Domus, we haven't rehearsed any of this. So this is just going straight off his head unless he's thought about it before. We have now Orisa, Sombra, and was Ana live Ana during was summer release. Games?
No, I don't think
she
was.
Has any like summer game. At least she doesn't have summer game things. So assuming that we're going to get some summer games things from those heroes, which hero gets a legendary and what is it? And if it's not an Orisa in a basketball jersey, then what is wrong with you?
They'd literally just be stealing that from heroes with the Azpodan has a basketball jersey. So it'd be pretty similar to that. I feel like Sombra.
Which they stole from Space Jam.
Yeah, to be fair. Everyone just steals from everyone. That's just the way
life. Blizzard is infamous for having references to all kinds of movies, books, poems, artists, writers, all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's necessarily them stealing the idea. I think it's them doing it on purpose as in a nod to Space Jam. But
I mean, look at the posters in Hollywood. They're obviously nods to very famous movies. Some like it bought. I wonder what that could be a nod to.
Maybe Michael Chu is like, no, this is mine. This is my idea. In these 1960s and 70s movies didn't happen.
Don't exist. Yeah. But yeah, I think Sombra is the most likely to be up for a legendary skin, I think, because we had Ariza in the... why am I not able to think of the name of it? Uprising.
Uprising, event. Yeah.
She had a legendary. Anna, when was her last legendary?
I think her last one was the Halloween. I think her last one was... No, her last one was the New Year event.
Oh, yeah,
she has
that's
that
right.
crazy mask.
Uh-huh. And Sombra hasn't had one, I don't think, from any of the events.
I don't think
so she's kind of
she
due.
Has.
And yeah, I don't... I'm trying to speculate or think about what it could possibly be, but I don't
Fair
know.
Enough. Give us a date. When does this start? When does Summer Games start?
an actual date? Okay, July 25th.
July 25th, which is...
Is that a Tuesday?
It's a Tuesday.
July 25th. Okay,
did you
I was
have
like,
a calendar up?
Oh, I have a calendar right in front of me.
I was like,
look at the Tuesdays in July.
That's what I was going to say. Wow, Jimmy Thomas is really a thing. Not only does he pick a random date off the thing, but it's actually a Tuesday too. Holy moly.
I'm going to say the 18th, by the way.
I use the crutch of calendars.
The crutch of calendars. Rosh, do you have a speculation for a date?
I think it's going to be the 18th or the 25th. So either way, I'm correct.
No. You cannot. You have to pick one.
Oh man.
But that leaves out. Okay, they're not going to release it in 2 weeks, and I don't think that they're going to release
it. You can pick the same one that we did, but you can't. You have to pick one or the other. You can't say, "Yeah, one of you two is right."
Okay, I think I'm going to go with the 25th because it always seems they kind of tend to release things. It seems like the last Tuesday of the month, so I'm going to go with the 25th.
Okay, well. make sure to write who's our payload historian for
I think that would be Omni, but I'm not actually sure that Omni's in here.
I don't think he is. So in the meantime, can one of you write down these predictions? 18th for me, 25th for the other two losers. And we'll go ahead and see. All right. And then for Doomfist, we're gonna do a little speculation with Jimmy Domus here. Jimmy. Doomfist, first of all, what's his role?
I want to say tank, but we just had Ariza, and I feel like they're not going to want to do that. So I'll go with the offense.
Okay. So
was it Sombra? Isn't Sombra an offensive hero though? Isn't Summer totally,
Don't
isn't she
question
in the classification?
Jimmy Domus.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, you're right.
Who
I'm
do
sorry,
you
I'm sorry,
think
sorry.
That you
oh,
are?
Sorry, he's a support.
How many times?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Terry Crews is a support. Yeah. Although, I could see him being a tank just because of how, how much tanks kind of skirt the line between other roles. We got into a long argument on my chat about Roadhog and Zarya and which one's more or less of a tank. And it was pretty interesting. My chat was wrong. Obviously.
My opinion is Roadhog. I'd say Roadhog is less of a tank.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably say that Zarya is more of a tank than Roadhog, but I still would classify Roadhog as a tank.
Wrong. Oh. So you're all wrong.
Oh.
But then again, I have more time on Zarya than anybody else. So.
Definition of tank.
Well, we'll see who's right in
It's definitely
weeks.
Not the hero with the smallest health pool, which is what Zarya is. But anyways, okay, we're going on. So what is he going to be released on the same date as Summer Games?
No.
Okay. So when is he going to be released?
Mid-August.
Mid-August.
I don't have an exact date.
Jimmy Domus is a big pull for people to listen to our show, and you're just throwing out these things willy-nilly.
15th.
August
15th of August.
I can see that because I can see them potentially releasing Summer Games on July 25th, but on the PTR, maybe releasing Doomfist and not officially releasing him until maybe 2 weeks later, because that's typically how much time they leave on the PTR. So then that would be the 15th of August. So I could probably see that.
Got it. Okay. 15th of August. Make sure we get that down in writing as well. Last but not least, what is going to be his differentiating key characteristic? Obviously his fist of doom. What does the glove do? Yeah. What does it do?
It's gonna misposition people, put people out of position, shove them away.
I think that he's gonna be the defensive character. And I think that it's gonna be something along the lines of him like stomping the ground or maybe hitting the ground or something like that and causing like a massive, like maybe a mobility kind of thing where it lessens the person's mobility. Well, no, because that's a lot like Reinhardt's Earth Shatter. So I can't really think of that. I don't know. I think it's going to be some kind of mobility defect or buff or whatnot. I think it's going to, I don't know. I think it's going to affect their mobility, and that's the best I have. But I think he's going to be defensive.
I mean, for me, thinking about like Doomfist, the idea behind Doomfist Gauntlet is it's like this big, powerful gauntlet that just destroys things, right? So like the easy thing to go to is, well, he's a melee character. But I'm like, what's the difference between Reinhardt swinging a hammer and Doomfist punching? Yeah, another great one would be like, oh yeah, fist down. Yeah. You know, like it ends
fist
up being
just seems
really,
so similar to Reinhardt, so I don't know.
Maybe the gauntlet is more like Iron Man's hand thing. You know, little rockets out there. And he could level a skyscraper, but it was with rockets. But no, because he punched Widowmaker straight in her amazing
Then again,
belly.
We are kind of getting to the point where abilities are kind of being similar to other character abilities. We're kind of getting to the point where there are only so many abilities on so many characters that you can throw into the game that are completely different than others. So maybe it is similar to Reinhardt's Hammer Down and we're just overthinking this and they are going to make it pretty similar. So I think that it's either going to immobilize people or it's going to do a massive amount of damage. I think it's one of those two because you kind of have to go big or go home with his gauntlet. So I think that it'll be one of those two.
Okay. I think you're right on the defensive hero piece. But if I had to make a different speculation, I'm going to say that it's another tank. It's another tank. So. All right, so we've got that there. All right, here's another thing. This is a PSA for all of you out there. Beep, 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 beep. All right, PSA. Hoarding loot boxes is pointless unless you're a troll like Rosh and just leaves them there for no reason. So a lot of people are like, I'm not going to open any loot boxes until the next patch so I don't get any duplicate legendaries. Your loot boxes are rolled when you earn them. So. Mm-hmm. Don't like, I wouldn't go out and buy loot boxes if you can help it, but play the game still. And the ones you earn, they're going to have duplicates in it until this next patch. So you're welcome. At least we've done one helpful thing this week for you.
Speaking of buying loot boxes, I don't think I've ever had a desire to buy regular loot boxes since they started doing these. Events every couple
yeah, that was
months.
A mistake, what wasn't it, Jimmy?
4 or 5? Now they've pigeonholed themselves in that they have to do these events, but whatever. We're getting free content out of it, and a lot of us are spending a stupid amount of money buying boxes.
Yeah, but not all of us. Not all of us. Some here on this podcast are sane. Just saying.
But then again,
so that's why you replaced Kevin. Only
have just all Mercy skins and a smattering amount of the other ones. Whereas,
you know,
like,
I have the Zenyatta skins. No, I make sure if it's if there's a support skin or emote or anything that has come out, I make sure to get it. Except for some reason, I didn't get the Zenyatta Halloween skin. I guess I overlooked that. So I'm kind of bitter that I have to wait 5 more months.
Oh, I
to
love
get
that
it.
Skin.
There's but for some reason, I didn't get
Skull,
it.
Yeah, Skull Yada?
Yeah, the Skull Yada one. So I'm kind of bitter that I didn't get that one, but I'll be able to get it again this year.
Maybe if you play the game enough. So the only one that I didn't get all the legendary skins for was the New Year one. And that was because I wasn't playing the game a lot at that time because
gotcha.
I'm a scrub. Or I was doing the last semester of college and getting ready to get engaged. Geez, judgy much?
Or you were a scrub.
For you
or
at home, judgy much? Anyways, so that's it for the loot boxes. But here's the big news of the week. I mean, expensive news. I mean, it's big. 19 inches big. This just posted about an hour before the show. We have an Overwatch Diva statue for, I'm not even going to say the price yet. It's 19 inches tall. Let me read this for you. Let's shoot for a new high score. South Korea is under a threat by a colossal omnic monstrosity, scrambling to find suitable candidates for its armored mecha unit. The government turned to the nation's professional gamers. Enter reigning world champion Hana Song, aka Diva, a fierce competitor who plays to win at all cost and has well-earned reputation for showing no mercy, pun intended, for her opponents. Seeing her new mission as a game, the global icon is ready to spring to her homeland's defense at a moment's notice. Measures 19 inches Florida head. Base is 13.5 inches.
Okay, don't say the price just yet, though.
All right, I won't.
So I want to say something. So I was watching the video. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. This will be, I was expecting, oh, it'll be $150, $200. And yeah, I'll probably get this. And then you click on the link to the gear store and you're crushed.
Yeah.
Crushed.
Can you pay for this in BattleNet balance?
Oh, God.
You're going to be playing WoW like 24/7 now.
I have million gold on my WoW account.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. I am an auction house god.
Oh, why haven't you bought a bunch of BattleNet bucks?
Because I let my WoW subscription lapse.
Can't you buy? Oh, no. I guess you can't.
Anyways,
Jimmy's heartbroken right now.
I am, because that's like hundreds of dollars worth of BattleNet credit right there.
That's why I'm asking. So quit making fun of me for a second and answer my dang question, okay?
I don't think so, because the gear store, you can't buy stuff with BattleNet dollars.
Okay, well, that would have been like, oh, that's all you had to say. Anyways.
Well, I just wanted to berate you for hoarding 3 million gold in WoW.
Katie and I decided if we wanted to make on-time payments for our student loans this month or if we wanted to get this statue. We're leaning towards statue. So she goes...
Please do not take the advice.
Because if we declare bankruptcy, we get to keep the statue.
That's it. The price of this actually, like, I was really excited for them to, because at some point they'll most likely come out with every character for these statues. And so I've just been sitting here, like, kind of patiently waiting for a Mercy statue. But then I saw the price for this, and I'm not so patient. It could take years for them to release this Mercy statue, because if this is an indication of the price of how much it's going to be, it can wait. I can wait on this.
Donation goal for 2019.
Yeah, the total price for this Diva statue comes out to a grand 450 buckarinos. So it's quite a pretty penny. Now, I am young and naive in the gaming statue collective world.
That's not a thing, by the way. That is definitely not a thing.
Why? why are these statues? I know that the quality is amazing for these statues because I've seen the Reaper. I've seen, I believe, what was the one they have? They come out with a Tracer one?
I have the Tracer. Shoot, the
and then there was
one.
Soldier. I don't remember. I think they've come out with three other
Soldier
ones. I know it's Reaper
came in the
Tracer.
Collector's edition.
Oh,
so right now
okay,
we have Reaper and
Reaper?
Widowmaker, Tracer, and then like
right.
Soldier. But the Soldier one is totally different. I have the Soldier one. I have okay. the Collector's edition. It's kind of like cheap. But like the Tracer one, outside of her face looking really weird. Sorry, I was going to go show the Tracer one. Outside of the face looking a little weird, like it's
I thought
immaculate.
They fixed that. I thought they gave replacements out for the face because I remember a bunch of people complaining about that. Because the first run of it was like really bad.
Oh, maybe he missed out on the replacements then.
Maybe I did.
Okay, of course you lead with the booty.
Sorry,
I can't tell
I was,
from this angle why
I'm
her
offended.
Face looks weird. I can't really see because
you
of
can't
the,
see it
the
from,
light.
Yeah.
But, huh, that's interesting. They look like they're really high quality, but I just, maybe it's, this one's more expensive because you have to take, you have to account for the mech too with the statue. So maybe that's why it's so much more expensive. But I can't wrap my head around why a figure, even if it's for, a collection prosperity, uh-huh. like a point of view. Why are these so expensive? It just blows my mind. And I'm really hoping that the Mercy one does not rack up more, like anywhere from 200 plus. I really hope it goes back to like Tracer was because it's a smaller character, so maybe it'll cost less. But
yeah,
it really boggles me.
On the cheaper side of things, though, since we're talking about the gear store stuff. I've been browsing around here while we've been talking about it. The Farah Funko Pop is finally back in stock, so I can finally buy that. Okay, because there's a little bit of a story to this. Earlier this year, or it was last year, I think. Remember there was a Silver Reaper that released at BlizzCon. You had to do all this weird stuff to try to get it. They released it on the Blizzard store, and so I ordered that and the Farah Funko as well. And so I got the package from Blizzard and it was just the Reaper one. And I'm like, what is up with this? And then I emailed them and they're like, oh yeah, the Farah one is sold out. So they didn't charge me for it or anything, but I was like, oh, thanks. Thanks for letting me order it. But now it's back in stock. So I'll probably order it as soon as we're done with this show.
I have
and spend
all the
much
box.
Less. I don't have all of them, but I got the Reinhardt one recently. And it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like the Reinhardt one. The Reinhardt, Winston, and Diva ones are the big ones.
I can't bring myself to unbox my pop figures. Like, they're all still in their box sets, but I just can't bring myself to. I haven't really been interested in the Overwatch pop figures, but that's because they haven't really released any support characters. So I don't feel like an emotional tie to pop figures. And I just don't want a bunch of like random pop figures that I'm not emotionally invested in. So that's why I haven't really invested too much into the Overwatch ones. But I have Widowmaker and Reaper because someone actually gifted them to me. But I just can't find myself to unbox them. Like, I think it's something that I carried over from my father, like keeping all the Star Wars figures. And like, Elizabeth, you cannot play with the dolls. They're not Barbies. I think that's just transferred over. Geez. But
yeah.
I don't get to put them on my desk and have them all cute because they're just all boxed up.
How many Mercy ones will you buy when they release the Mercy pop
I
figures?
I will only buy one. I will limit myself to one.
What if they have different colored ones and different
Well,
skins?
Then I will get one of each.
So the one thing, though, about unboxing your pops is that the boxes are designed in a way that you can actually take them out and put them back in really easily.
Yeah.
I have all the boxes. It's not like, you know, you can rip the cardboard or something. It's like the
yeah,
cheapest
boxing. Yeah, I do know
that's
really, really easy. Yeah.
It's designed to take out. So I have all the boxes in there. Katie really wants to throw them away, but she doesn't understand that they're collectible.
Exactly. So.
That's the
exactly.
point.
This might be
that's
worth money someday, babe. Okay.
Exactly.
I'm going to pay for our kids' college tuition with this Reaper pop. Okay. The white one and the black one.
I know. I'm thinking.
Anyways,
about it.
Wow. That was a long way. Anyways, if you do look, though, if you look at the image, the craftsmanship looks amazing. It's definitely on another level compared to like the Tracer one. The Tracer one's amazing, but they're not doing a full person and a mech. It's 19 inches, where I think the Tracer one is like 12 inches. If I had to guess, I'm eyeballing it here. Hello. Reaper just fell over. Rip. Reaper just fell over from my thing.
Yeah, the craftsmanship on the statue. Wait.
Get ready for it. It's 10.5 inches. Did he die?
Oh my gosh.
Bye, Jimmy.
The craftsmanship on this D.Va statue actually looks really, really good. Like D.Va herself and her facial aspects, like it looks really, really good. So I think this will probably be the best one that's been released. I thought the Reaper one was really cool and really detailed, but this I think is a whole nother level, which it should be for $450. I mean, that's a month's rent. There you go. But
Are you in California?
I am in California,
but
I split it.
What closet in California are you renting?
I have roommates, remember? But yeah, if you are looking at like investing in any of these and you really only want to get one and D.Va is one of your characters that you main, this one does look really, really good if you want to invest, you know, part of your soul into it.
Yeah. Speaking of investing part of our souls, let's talk about esports. Rosh, you're up.
Esports news.
What?
You put me on the spot. I didn't know what to do.
He does this every week.
Say the same thing that we say every week.
Wait, Pinky? No. Jimmy normally goes esports news really fast.
He says Overwatch esports. We always say Overwatch esports.
Yeah.
Send your applications for the third host spot on the payload to thepayloadatlaspro.com.
Maybe this is my plan.
Must be able to
so
remember the words
again.
Overwatch esports. Okay, we actually do have a lot of esports to talk about, and it's been a really light week, and we're kind of just enjoying that, but we do need to go in and discuss. Because we're going into the playoffs this week, boys and gals, this weekend. And it's pretty exciting. So I've got the bracket up on the stream for you video watchers and people in the chat. Links are in the show notes for you as well for you audio listeners. We're going to go through. We're going to talk about NA and EU. We're going to be a little bit thorough this week. And we're going to talk about some of these matchups. And it's going to be a really good time. So. Here are the top eight teams in NA. We've got Immortals, LG Evil, Renegades, and Team Liquid. And then FaZe Clan, Kangarna, FNR, GFE, and Envision. Those are the eight in order of seeding, I believe, going forward. So, 5 hour Renegades might be seeded higher. Anyways, those are the eight teams. Let's talk about these matchups a little bit. First, Immortals versus FaZe Clan. Wow. I am really excited for this one. Rosh, break this one down here. Who you like? What's going on here?
This is going to be an amazing game. This is going to be a really good game. It's funny because a couple months ago, if you had asked us about FaZe Clan, we'd be like, yeah, there's no way they're going to be a top contender for this. But they have pulled things around with all of their roster switches, and they've really proven that they are a team to be rivaled with. So it's pretty cool. They have a lot going for them as in terms of motivation for winning this game. So I think it's going to make it tough for Immortals, but I do think that Immortals is going to squeak by with a win. I think that they just have more pool as a team. They have more practice under their belts. They've had, I think, better team synergy than FaZe Clan has going forward. And I just really think that my personal pick from these two is going to be Immortals going forward. And I think we called that at the beginning. I think we said, like, who do we think the finalists are going to be? And it was like LG Evil, Immortals, and I think we might have said, I think there was another team that actually didn't make it, but I think we did call Immortals being one of these top teams. So I think that that's still my decision. I'm still rooting for Immortals. I think that they'll squeak out this win.
Yeah, I mean, Immortals, I mean, they went 5-0-1 against a group that wasn't stacked by any means, but it wasn't a slouch group. They have FNR, GFE. They had Arc 6, formerly Yikes, and Tempo Storm, rest in peace. Tempo Storm, man, they got crushed. But they went 5-0-1, and I believe their only draw, I have to remember who their draw was against. I think it wasn't an Arc 6. I believe it was.
You think it was Arc 6?
Well, it was either Arc 6 or Tempo.
Or Tempo Storm. Yeah, I'm trying to remember. There were so many games last weekend. I'm trying to remember and which ones were recorded or not. So it might not have even been recorded. That's why we might not remember who they tied with. But it was probably Arc 6. Actually, it would have to be Arc 6 because Arc 6 drew twice. So Arc 6 drew against Immortals and Tempo Storm.
Oh, yeah. Math.
Well, they could have drawn against the other one twice. It's a...
Well, then the other team
would have two draws.
Yeah. So, yeah, they tied against Arc 6.
Okay. Anyways. yes. So they drew there. But here's the thing. Immortals... Like, I love FaZe Clan, and I've talked through this whole tournament about how much I believe in FaZe Clan. Not against Immortals, though.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, not. There's a few things. Like, FaZe already is working with Spree, Louie, and Joe Meister, who are relatively new to the squad. FaZe was really shaky in group stages. If you take their second day out, they were 0-1-3.
And look at the teams that they were playing in Group A. They weren't playing really hard teams. They were playing teams that could arguably be like the bottom half of the teams. They're really, I mean, Selfless used to be a really great team, but then they lost to Fran. And then CLG is kind of one of the newer teams that were picked up from the tier two teams in the Overwatch groups from like the Discord channel. So they're still relatively new to the competitive scene at this level too. And then Team Liquid, we've always talked about how they have such a high cap ceiling, but we don't think that they're quite there yet. So even this this pretty good team, but not amazing team, they still finished 2-1-3. So
right.
In
FaZe's credit, they've beaten LG Evil. They've beaten FNRG FE. They've beaten Team Liquid. They haven't been shut out throughout the entire tournament. So they've always taken at least one map, which means that they're capable of performing at a high level. Immortals is just too consistent, though, for me to take them against. I'd say Immortals wins 3-1. That's what I'm saying there. Jimmy, you got any thoughts on this matchup? I don't know. I know you've had a really busy week, so I don't expect you to be like super, super like, I'll do esports.
It's really hard to bet against Immortals here, I feel like, as well as FaZe Clan is done. Like Rosh was saying, if you asked us 2 months ago about this, we'd be like, yeah, FaZe Clan, why are they even in the playoffs? How'd they get there?
Yeah, how did they even, yeah.
But Immortals looks really strong from the little bits and pieces of Open I've been, or Contenders I've been able to see. And I, just based on their record, it's like hard to bet against them. But we'll see. That's what the playoffs are for, is for crazy upsets and matches. So we'll see.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what I'm taking in. And honestly, we're going to talk about the semifinals of the upper bracket in a second, because that should, in my opinion, be the finals of the grand finals of the NA bracket, because of Cloud9 taking that 9 seed really, really screwed things up.
Yeah.
It really screwed things up. So next up, we've got LG Evil versus Kangarna. Honestly, I think Kangarna is kind of a sleeper pick. And it was the sleeper pick in Group D. It was a group of death. Didn't I have both 5-Hour Energy and Kangarna coming out of Group D, and you were really mad because I didn't choose Cloud9?
Yeah, because I can't imagine you having picked Hammer Esports at the condition that their team is in right now. No, so I think you kind of had
I don't know
to
if I had them the other way around. Yeah, so I had both of them picked. So,
Like, look at their standings in Group D. Kangarna
went 1-0-5.
Yeah. And 1 win, 0-5 draws.
How bad does it feel like to be Cloud9 winning 2 series and not making it out of the group?
Yeah, it's because of the way that them, the tiebreaker with Kangarna. So it's very interesting. But I mean, 1-0-5. Like, I think I've got to go with LG Evo, because LG Evo ended their bracket 6-0. They completely wiped Group B's. Four, which, to be fair, Group B's team selection was LG Evil, Envision, Toronto Esports, and You Guys Get Paid. So it wasn't necessarily like Envious, Immortals, and Cloud9, like all of these great teams in this group. But I mean, wiping the floor as a 6-0-0, like that's got to show something for LG Evil. So I think here I'm going to pick LG Evil just because they've shown such great past games and past tournaments, not just contenders. I think I'm going to go with LG Evil, but I think it'll be a close game. I think it'll be a 3-2 win for them.
Wow, you're just going with all the 3-2s here. So
you went.
Dang. So I've got 3-1 Immortals. I'm taking 3-0 LG Evil. And I'm going to tell you why. So LG Evil actually played Kangarna in the qualifiers, in the semifinals, and they beat them 2-0. In fact, LG Evil is the only team in contenders that Kangarna has played that has shut them out. They've split or at least taken a match on every other team. LG Evil is so far beyond Kangarna, in my opinion, that they're the only team with the capability to shut them out. So I'm taking 3-0 LG Evil. And I think we're going to see some good fights, but I don't think that any of the fights are going to be good enough to swing into Kangarna's favor. At the same time, we've seen so little of Kangarna. And if they're able to learn fast enough through this kind of contenders period, which we've seen them do, they've actually lost to a team 0-2 and then tied the team and then a week later beat them 2-0 or 3-0.
Kangarna
like
has
that.
Definitely been a weird team to watch this contenders. If you had asked me at the beginning, did I think that they were in a far? I wouldn't have necessarily said yes. And then I would have said, okay, yes, they're definitely going to be a contender for the bracket. And then it was like, okay, maybe not. It's been a really weird up and down roller coaster for Kangarna for me.
The other interesting thing here is Kangarna is actually rated higher than LG Evil in the NA rankings, according to Over.gg. Now, a lot of that came from their peak when they beat Yikes, they beat Evil Geniuses, they beat Renegades, they lost to Cloud9. Yeah, so they beat Renegades and then Evil Geniuses and then Yikes. And then they dropped way down after they lost to LG Evil again, 0-2. They drew with Cloud9, beat Hollywood Hammers, and then they lost to Renegades, who they beat earlier. Lost or drew Cloud9 again, drew Renegades, drew, and then just drew, and then barely beat C9. So, like, even though they rate them higher from a systematic standpoint, I think that if we had Sideshow or Jamerson on the show, they would say there's no way that objectively anyone who's watching these teams would say that LG Evil would be placed over. Under
Kangarna.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the semifinals of that bracket for a second.
3-1 LG Evil.
3-1 LG Evil. Very bold.
I think Kangarna has some time to study and figure out what is just killing them with LG Evil. And I think having that prep time for one series like this can really help a team. But obviously winning one map isn't enough.
Going into a best of five, too, hopefully means that they get to see at least one map that's in Kangarna's favor. But I still think they get 3-0'd. I think it's one of the only 3-0's that we see on the NA side. All right, next one. Renegades versus FNRGFE. I'm getting really good at saying that now. I'm really proud. So let me give you my take first, if that's all right. So I love FNRGFE. I love the players that are on it. The fact that they're kind of the discarded from some of the best teams in Overwatch and the way that they've been able to compete at such a high level. I love that. Finishing 3-3, I think is really respectable, especially when you've got Immortals and Yikes, now Arc 6 in your group. Group C was not an easy group at all.
No, not at all.
I expected Tempo Storm to do better, but besides that, like, there's no slouches in Group C by any means. So, Renegades have not been shut out in the entire tournament and have only lost to LG Evil. That's the only team that they've lost to, which I think you would say, I think it's not a stretch to say that Immortals and LG Evil are by far the best two teams in NA that are competing in this tournament. Once we get Rogue and Envious, of course, that's a totally different story. But among the teams that aren't Rogue and Envious, I put them, you know, one and two. And I think you could make a lot of arguments about where they're better and worse. So you've got that. FNRGFE has been very polarized so far in Overwatch. They've pulled up some really upsetting things. They've yet to be shut out, but besides Arc 6, they really haven't had to play top tier teams. So there's always that. But they did take, they took maps off of Immortals and FaZe Clan. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's enough. Yeah. I think Renegades takes it 3-2. Dante's too good. Jesus is too good.
Yeah. I don't know why Renegades is doing as well as they're doing. I think that it might have to do a lot with the Pharah Mercy meta. I think that that is definitely letting them get a one-up on others because they have arguably one of the best Pharahs in NA on their team with Mangachu. So I definitely think that that helps them as a team. But also, Jesus has been popping off recently. I mean, I think there was a clip from one of the shows that, or one of the tournament games that were not streamed. His Widow was insane.
So good.
I think he went on to lose that match, but he, everywhere else that has been shown, he has gone off. So things, maybe it's the confidence of them having won all of these games, because there's definitely a mentality aspect to esports and to competing in tournaments. So maybe these previous wins, and what did they finish the bracket at? 4-0 and 2. That's a good score, especially the people that they were playing against.
Kangarna and C9.
Cloud9 and Hammers. Yeah, so that's an amazing score to come out on top of. So I think confidence has to do with the play. I think the Pharah Mercy combo has to do with the play. And I think Jesus, like, really stepping up and fragging out definitely has to play with it. I also think that they just released that they were hiring a new coach, that they added a new coach to their team. So I think that's going to continue on to play with that too. But I think I'm going to have to choose Renegades just because I think that this streak has built up and built up and built up. But I think that it will be another close game because FNRGFE, I think, has surprised everybody. I just don't think that there's enough there to overcome the strength and brutality of what is Renegades right now.
Yeah, they're running like a fine old machine right now, I think.
Yeah.
I think they're playing their best Overwatch right now. Jimmy?
Alrighty. Yeah. I think there has to be an upset somewhere in this bracket. Somewhere. And I feel like this is the series that's ripe most for that upset. So I'm going to say FNRGFE 3-2 over Renegades. FNRGFE being unpredictable like they are may work in their favor. So we'll have to see. But I like FNRGFE. So I hope they win. But I hope they win too.
I have to agree with that.
I think 3-2 is possible. So, yeah, I'm going to say 3-2.
I think out of all of the games, Immortals versus FaZe Clan, LG Evil and Kangarna, Renegades and FNRGFE and Team Liquid and Envision, I think if there was one game that might be an upset against the team that we think is going to win, I think that it's going to be Renegades and FNRGFE. I think that that will be the game that, if you do not think they're going to win, that they will be able to upset Renegades and take it. So I have to agree there. I want FNRGFE to win, but I think that Renegades will take it because of just how well they've been performing.
And they've got the higher seeds, so they've got the they've got the map choice bonus. So it means that if it goes to that fifth map, it's going to favor Renegades there. And so, all right, last one in the quarterfinals here is Team Liquid versus Envision. By far the weakest matchup, I would say, of this entire thing, right? That's pretty safe to say. Envision came out of Group B, where You Guys Get Paid failed to perform completely, and LG Evil dominated 6-0, which we knew LG Evil was going to do well. Their only wins in group stages were beating Toronto Esports and You Guys Get Paid. And again, You Guys Get Paid did not win. Lost 4 times, drew twice. They also drew against both of those teams in groups. So not only could they not beat them consistently, they beat them once and they drew once. And it was in that order. They drew first and then they beat them. So it means that they can adapt, at least it seems. But at the same time, we all know how inconsistent Team Liquid is, right? They come with a lot of question marks. They performed really well in Group A, winning or tying all 6 of their matches. And that is comes saying a lot. I mean, they have FaZe Clan, CLG, and Selfless in this. And in obviously Selfless was, you know, severely crippled by the loss of Defran and Sinatra and not having them for the whole tournament. But, you know, CLG has performed really well in the past. FaZe Clan, you know, has some monster names on there. At the same time, I don't think it's enough. I think Envision just isn't that good of a team. And I think on a different weekend, they don't even come out of groups. Team Liquid 3-1. Yeah, I agree. Team Liquid 3-1. Rosh, any other thoughts?
No, I think you're completely right on the analysis of how Team Liquid performed against their Group A's, against the teams in Group A, and how Envision didn't have to do anything to win or to get out of their group. I'm looking at the group standings. All they had to do was just beat the teams that hadn't won a game, basically. It would have been really, really hard for them to not come out of Group B, and it had to be really hard for Team Liquid to come out on top of their team. So I think it does go to Team Liquid. I honestly would be surprised if I will say 3-1, just because you're right, the inconsistency with Team Liquid is still a big question mark there. Like, they might not show up as their true selves as they did last weekend. So I will give it 3-1. But if there weren't an inconsistent issue there, I would honestly probably say 3-0 over Envision, because I don't see Envision rivaling them at all here.
Yeah, totally agree.
Yeah, I hate to just fall in line with everyone, but yeah, 3-1 Team Liquid, I feel like.
Cool.
All right. Interesting matchup, though.
I wanted to talk about one more matchup here, because in the end, if everything was seeded and bracketed perfectly, we'd probably be seeing LG Evil and Immortals in the grand finals. Instead, I think it's entirely likely, I almost guarantee, that we're going to be seeing Immortals and LG Evil face off in the semifinals. Yeah. Right. And so this is kind of an important one. Yeah, we won't. In fact, believe it or not, I think that there is a high probability that we actually see Team Liquid in the finals.
Yeah, they have to be Renegades, right,
Refn, or GFE, and they can easily take both of those teams.
I hadn't looked at it from the overall standings, but yeah, how did that happen?
Cloud9 taking the top seed,
right,
in group the ninth seed, so Group D, the top there, and then not qualifying. So. Otherwise, I think if you take that out of there and just go off of performances, you would have had, I don't even know. I don't know. I can't do this off the top of my head, but it would have likely been that you wouldn't have had Immortals and LG Evil on the same side of the bracket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you're right. Because Team Liquid totally takes this Envision. And then I think that Team Liquid can take FNRG, and I think that Team Liquid can take Renegade. So how crazy a world. That's a bummer, though, because imagine Team Liquid, if he takes those two teams, that's not like they're broadcasting their skill level by beating them. They're just not beating amazing
And that's when the frustration has come with C9 making it through, despite not really having the performance to back that up. We love C9 on this show. You guys know we're all C9 fanboys. We love Gods. We love Sure4. They're all talented players. But there's just no reason
why.
It really messed it up.
It's going to be an LG Evil v Team Liquid or Immortals versus Team Liquid finale,
3-0.
I think it's going to be a blowout.
It should be a 3-0. That being said, I want to talk about Immortals versus LG Evil because I think it's really interesting. I've done some research. So first, for those of you who are like, guys, why are you so up over the moon about Immortals? Think about this for a second. Immortals have yet to finish lower than third in any tournament since September of 2016. Literally almost a year. We're talking 9 months now at this point that they have yet to finish lower than third. And there was only one tournament where they finished third. The rest are first and second place finishes. So there's that. Immortals is also one of the rosters that haven't made a lot of changes. Immortals have been the same for a long time. Their Korean imports have not slowed them down, though, for LG Evil, right? So LG Evil, am I thinking of the right thing? Where is it? They're Korean. Hi. Sorry. My notes were really bad here. I wrote them instead of typed them like a bad thing. But so Immortals has only lost to Yikes, who aren't competing. That's the only team that they've lost to in this tournament. However, in an interesting turn of events, Immortals lost to Yikes, who lost to Kangarna, who beat LG Evil. So by that logic, that's the closest I can get to statistically justifying a chance that LG Evil can beat Immortals.
So
that's honestly saying a lot because I think I could speak for all of us when we've been following LG Evil since when they were Hammers Esports originally. And I mean, they came out of nowhere and just completely dominated the scene. So we've been following them for a little while. So it's a really hard pick for us here because we're definitely for Immortals because of the amazing performances they put on the past. And I have respect for them as a team for not constantly swapping out their rosters when almost every other single roster has seen some kind of roster change going through the year. But it's a really tough call to choose Immortals or LG Evil because we've been following them both so close and we're fans of both teams. So it's hard and it'll probably be my favorite game to watch of the weekend, including the finale. Like whatever the finale is, I don't think it will top the amount of skill caught in the LG Evil versus Immortals game. So I'm really, really excited and I really hope it ends up that way. Even though we wanted to see that as the finale, at least we'll be able to see it as the, quarterfinals? The match?
Yep.
Yeah, so at least we'll be able to see that as a game. So I'm probably more excited for that game than I'm going to be whatever the finale comes out to be.
Here is the kind of dumb thing, though. So I say Immortals 3-2. Any disagreements?
I probably want to say LG Evil.
3-2? I mean, that's fine. Know. I think it's really going to be 3-2,
regardless. I think it's going to be 3-2, but I want to pick LG Evil.
I'm going to go Immortals.
All right, so there's that. Here's the thing that really creams my corn, okay? All these matches we just talked about will not be streamed.
I was going to ask that earlier. Since there are only 4 matches, I know last weekend we didn't get to see like 75% of the matches. Yeah. Are so any of the matches, because I saw on the website, it doesn't say that it's going to be. So
the semifinals, so would they call it the quarterfinals? So they would call it, the quarterfinals will all be played at 1 p.m. Mountain Time off stream. 3 p.m. is semifinals. 5 p.m. 3 p.m. is semifinal game 1. 5 p.m. is semifinal game 2. and 7 p.m. is grand finals.
Why?
So, and this has been one of the biggest criticisms, I would say, of this entire thing is we missed way too many matches.
Mm-hmm.
There was so many good matches being played. Even if they had a spectator in there for VODs that could be posted later, which I know some of them had, like Kelvin and the Chipmunks, there was someone called like Overwatch Contenders, and they had a number at the end of it in the lobby on Siegel's stream. So like, I'm assuming that they were spectating, but we haven't seen any of those. So they're at least not public in that respect, but it's going to be the same on the EU side on the first. So we have EU on the first, we have NA on the second, and literally the winners, we're only going to see 3 of these 7 matches. And that bums me out.
Yeah. And so, I think I've seen a lot of reasoning as to why there's potential for not seeing it. And there have been a lot of games with contenders starting from qualifiers to the end. I've seen some reasonings behind.
Give me a
maybe
B stream.
It just wasn't.
Give me a B
maybe
stream.
Maybe it just wasn't in the budget to have desk analysts or anything like that, because there are a lot of games, and maybe for it being the first time that contenders has ever happened, they weren't planning on the attacking as much attacking or the outreach on people thinking that it was so negative. So maybe they just weren't planning on it being as big as it is, which I think is wrong. I think they underestimated this greatly.
Mm-hmm.
But realistically, I mean, if you talk to any of the casters, I remember seeing Jamerson talking about how late and how like just tired it was having to cast all of those games and stay up for as long as you could. And I remember the analysts constantly talking about how late they had been up and how many more games and how long it was taking. So maybe it just wasn't financially, maybe it just wasn't in the budget, but I think that was a mistake coming out with something that's supposed to be leading up to Overwatch League and underestimating and under budgeting what it should have been.
This is called Season Zero. Because they call it Season Zero, I give them a pass. I say, exactly. You know what? This is fine. That's fine. But when Season One rolls around, if I'm missing matches with Envious and Rogue because they can't, even if they throw it on a B stream, have no casters and just have a spectator, I don't freaking care. Even if it's one spectator with a couple of setup cameras, I don't care. I want to see those games. And yeah, because there's a lot of games that got played off stage or off, like, check this out. Check out some of these games that we never got to see.
Immortals versus FNRG FE. Games.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cloud9 versus Kingarna and tying, right? We didn't get to see that. The Renegades beating Cloud9 3-1. I'm just going through the list here. FNRG versus, yikes. I would have loved
that. Would have been an amazing game.
you know, so, I mean, there's a lot of games that we missed, and sure, we can debate about the feasibility of playing, you know, 24 matches in a day. Like, that's just not feasible. But to say that, like, we get how many? 1, 2, 3. We get 4 out of 24. Like, that feels a little light for me. Anyways,
especially when they show the highlights of all the games before the games, you just have no idea what you're watching. Like, when did this happen? Did I miss a broadcast? Like, what's going on? It was very messy.
Right. Well, it's hard to say. Like, even right now, we're just taking, like, here's the results because I can't say, here's how so-and-so played against FNRG FE because all I know is the final results. So
I'm sorry, but I cannot give a pass to Blizzard on this. Like, this isn't their first rodeo in esports. I feel like they should have known from the growing pains of their previous games and how much of people do not like having games that aren't streamed. All their other games have gone through this, and the solution, at least when you're first starting out with an esport, is community streams. And I don't understand why they didn't open that up in some way. You just have to have one person organize it, assign out the streams so that you're not conflicting with the main broadcast and you're good. It feels like a really simple solution, having been someone on the other side of the situation. And yes, I understand that you can't expect the main casters to cast 60 hours a day casting all these series. And even as much as they were really long days to begin with. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying add it onto their schedule. I'm just saying get some community streamers in there or something. Like, come on.
Yeah. I would have loved to have casted. But I also know there's a lot of great caster too, like Joshy. You know, Joshy's been doing a lot of community casting for a long time. And like, you know, there's a lot of people there that I think could have brought great. But at the same time, it might just be the commitment to quality that they want going forward. That centralization of, no, this is, you know, trial alpha version of Overwatch League. And we're starting with this is how it's going to look. And we're going to have a crappy tournament with 10% of the game streamed rather than, you know, doing all these other things and it not executing the long-term vision for Overwatch League. I get that. I still disagree with it. I'm like, give me the VODs. Just give me the VODs even. I don't even care if there's any casting. But I want to talk about the
replay
EU bracket
system.
Really
quick. Replay system. Come on.
Thank you. So let's talk about the EU bracket really quick. We'll make our, we'll talk about some of these matches and make our predictions really quick. So first is EU United versus Movistar Riders. Movistar Riders had a lot to prove in groups. We talked about that a bit. After some impressive displays of skill at Take TV, we were all, you know me, I was all on the Movistar Riders train. They really had a lot of attention and a lot of eyes on them going into Overwatch contenders. That being said, Group D was filled with lesser known teams than we're probably used to seeing in these other groups. Group D was 1-2-3 Movistar Riders and then Alpha Squad and the now defunct Cyclones. So, you know, Alpha Squad and Cyclones, everyone's like, what? 1-2-3 is kind of the FNRGFE of EU in a lot of ways, where it's a lot of great players who have been around on other rosters or have proven themselves in other places. And, you know, obviously they've done great, but they performed really well despite, you know, the fact that they really have yet to prove themselves against some big names. EU United, on the other hand, have really been virtually unstoppable in contenders. They're 8-0-2 over the past 3 weeks while splitting a series with Team Expert and Bazooka Puppies. They rebounded to 4-0 against both of these teams before the end of group stages. So they played them, they split 2-2, went back and played them again and 4-0'd those teams. So I think United's too good. 3-0. I love Movistar Riders. I love Swoosh, but it's not. I'm sorry. I think it ends right there.
Yeah, I'm going with United. Yeah.
3-0?
I don't think it'll be 3-0. I don't know enough about the teams to really give an exact team, but I think that United will bring them the win. I think that they'll take the win.
3-1.
3-1. Okay. Next is Singularity versus Laser Kittens. Team Singularity have had some strong performances, but by far haven't proven themselves, in my opinion. Laser Kittens haven't really proven themselves either, or that their roster can compete at the highest level. Despite what everyone keeps saying about how they look on paper. That being said, they have beat Misfits in contenders 3-1, while also losing to Misfits 3-1. I still say Laser Kittens wins 3-1 here.
3-0. Laser Kittens.
Rush?
I don't think it'll be a 3-0. I think it'll probably be a 3-1 or a 3-2. Both teams look like they did really well. I will take Laserkins because they had to go against Misfits and they still put up a good fight. So I'll take Laserkins for the win.
Cool. All right. So then let's talk about the last match here. 1-2-3 versus Rest in Pajamas or RIP, formerly Ninjas in Pajamas or NIP. The Ninjas in Pajamas squad is now without sponsor. And so they changed their name to Rest in Pajamas. So I would say for this one, this is one of the closest matchups and least or most difficult to predict because 1-2-3 is just formed for this tournament. And yeah, so it's kind of hard. There's not a long track record there to make some of these guesses. 1-2-3 though have only lost to Movistar Riders since forming as a team, with Movistar Riders and RIP being the only teams of note that they've played against. 1-2-3 did beat RIP 2-0 in the qualifiers round of 16. So they are poised there. That being said, I really think RIP looks tired. They performed poorly in TakeOver 2. Only one team that they've beat is still left in the tournament. So they haven't played. They haven't. What's so funny?
They look tired and their logo is bananas and pajamas.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Fair enough.
Sorry. All right.
I think they look tired. I think they look exhausted. I think they're demoralized from what's kind of happened to them this past
That's
week.
That's rough.
Yeah,
that is
and
super rough.
Like I said, too, the only teams that they, of all the teams that they've beaten this tournament, only one is good enough to still be in the top eight. So they haven't really had to play the toughest teams overall. So
yeah, I'm gonna go with 1-2-3 here.
I have 1-2-3, 3-1, maybe 3-2.
Yeah, I agree.
Cool. And then I really wanted to talk more about Misfits versus Bazooka Puppies because Bazooka Puppies is really interesting to me, but I still think Misfits 3-1s them, maybe 3-0s. I wasn't able to do...
I think it's just Misfits. Misfits is too good.
Misfits, you know, if they didn't perform so well since TakeOver 2, I'd definitely be doubting this. But they haven't really given us a reason to doubt them as an organization since leaving TakeOver 2. So
yeah,
I think Misfits has to take it here. So before we get out of here, because we do have to get out of here, let us take our big winners. Who's winning NA? Who's winning EU? I personally I'm taking Immortals winning NA, and I've got Misfits winning EU.
Yeah. I agree with the Misfits part, but since we disagreed, you think it's going to be Immortals when
so
the Immortals
LG
versus
Evil.
LG Evil. I'm taking LG Evil.
You don't think Team Liquid's going to upset them in the grand finals?
I don't. You know, we've always argued that Team Liquid has an extremely high skill cap, but I do not think that this is where they reach that skill cap. Not yet.
Okay. Jimmy?
I hate to do this, but I'm going to agree with John here. Mortals, NA.
Johnny Domus.
Misfits to you.
Johnny Domus. I like it. I like the ring
those
to
seem,
it.
Those seem like the easy picks. And
they're
far above the rest of, I think, the teams right now.
The last thing I want to say is the NA brackets are a giant cluster. The EU brackets and the EU group stages played out just about how everybody would have expected. So... kind of interesting there. I hope that in the future, like I'm all for seeding better teams higher to make their journey. Like they have less to prove. Mm-hmm. Like a bunch of Masters dudes shouldn't, you know, get preferential treatment over a team like Rogue or Cloud9 who have a proven track record of playing at the highest level and doing it full time. I'm all for that faster route or that easier route for them. I understand why C9 got through to groups because they were, you know, competing in other tournaments, but I would hope that they don't do that going forward.
Time is money. Time is money, friends. Sorry. And we're almost flat broke.
should have waited. I should have. Hey, thank you so much for hanging out with us for episode 73. We went a little bit long. You get a little bit of bonus payload on your commute this week. So, hey, hope you guys enjoyed it. Very esports heavy. Very esports heavy this week, but it was fun. I really like talking Overwatch esports, and we're going to keep doing it. So be ready for our recaps. We're gonna go ahead and see who got the most predictions right next week. Should be good fun. But thank you all for hanging out with us. As always, send us your emails to thepayload@blizzpro.com with questions, comments, ideas for the show, whatever. We love to read your emails.
Applications
thank you so much.
For replacing Rush's spot.
Overwatch esports. It's all you have to be able to say. Jimmy, what's going on in Patreon land?
As always, we want to thank our Grandmaster supporters, Shadow, J.A., Coral, Liam, O, Stuart J., Liang Z, Jacob S., and Adam W. Thank you so much for your support on the Payload Podcast. We absolutely appreciate it, and thank you very, very much. If you like the show and would like to be a part of the Payload Podcast family, head on over to patreon.com/payloadpodcast. Find out what it's all about, all the tiers there, all the rewards laid out. It's awesome. We also have the merch store live, store.blizzpro.com. Get a Payload Podcast t-shirt.
And don't forget about our game night next Friday, 7 p.m. Pacific time. Hang out in our Discord for the exact channel. But for right now, I'm 99.9% sure it's going to be at twitch.tv/blizzbro, right where we record these shows live every week. All right, Rosh, what about iTunes reviews?
Yeah, iTunes reviews, we don't actually have any from this week, but huge thank you to everybody who has previously left them before. 5-star reviews help us a ton, and you have helped us grow as a podcast so, so much. So thank you so much from that, from here at us at the Payload Podcast. If you have not left one yet, they are incredibly easy to leave, and you can do so at iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and Google Podcasts.
Awesome. All right, well, let's do some shout-outs for the week. And where can people find you, Jimmy Bloxham?
Twitter and Twitch at DJ Tyrant. And I'll be talking about when I stream there.
Awesome. Rosh, shout-outs for the week. And where can people find you?
Shout-outs to everybody who has given this channel support. If it weren't for you guys, we would not have a sub button. So huge thank you to everybody. And huge thank you to everybody who has subbed to the channel. I really appreciate it, and I know that John appreciates everyone who has subbed his channel as well. You can catch me at twitch.tv/okayitsrosh and at twitter.com/f2k_okayitsrosh.
Awesome. As for me, again, shout outs, huge thank you to everybody who subbed up for the streams with Amazon Prime and other ones. We got our emotes all set up, so we have some pretty cool emotes in the channel. And just thank you all for making that experience an amazing one. Find me on Twitch, Twitter, and everywhere else at Kick Tripod, or head over to kicktripod.com. You can see my blog there and links to everything else. So love for to get to know you, come hang out. So cool. All right, that's gonna do it for us. Thank you for joining us for episode 73, and a big thank you to Jake Butno for our music. We'll see you guys next week.